Hello, I'm Tom Weber. Thanks for listening to NPR News here on the radio or online or on our podcast. Coming up, an interview by my colleague, Markita Fornoff, who interviewed the woman who dared to drive in Saudi Arabia. She posted a video that went viral on YouTube and ended up in jail. Her name is Manal Asharif, and you'll hear from her in a few moments. First, though, time for our weekly check-in with the political junkie, Ken Rudin, who is in Washington, where I believe it's a warm and humid 4th of July weekend, but thanks for being with us. It's good to talk to you.
It's my pleasure, Tom. Thank you.
Questions for Ken Rudin, the political junkie, 1-800-242-2828, 651-227-6000. I want to double back here, Ken, on health care, because we had the delay last week by Mitch McConnell, the Senate leader, on the vote, right? So we're not going to do it before the 4th of July recess,
As he promised.
As he promised. That's right. But there was this secondary thing of trying to get something done by Friday. Even though he had delayed the vote, they were still working to get something done by Friday. Explain what that was and what how that plays into the timeline of what Mitch McConnell wants.
Well, you know, something that you get a sense sometimes that the Republicans would rather have anything, whether it's good for the American people or not, only because for 7 years they've been pledging to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, you know, known as Obamacare. So earlier in the week, Mitch McConnell said, well, we don't have the vote. I mean, they have 52 Republicans in the Senate, so they could afford to lose two. But it looked like they had at least seven or eight Republicans, both moderates and conservatives, opposing the bill for different reasons. So McConnell tried to do a last-ditch effort to either just do outright repeal and worry about the details later, or try to give more money to the senators demanding more money for the opioid crisis, like Rob Portman of Ohio and Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia. But every time he tried to give something to some senators, other senators like Rand Paul and Mike Lee and Ted Cruz objected, saying it's just too many subsidies, too much of a bailout, and he couldn't get 50 votes on the same page.
So he delayed that vote, but my understanding was he was trying to get something cobbled together by the end of day Friday. And the way I read it was he wanted to get something on paper so that he could send it to the Congressional Budget Office, this nonpartisan office that scores bills, right? We've been hearing about the CBO report, right? How many people might not have insurance, how might lose insurance, because he wanted the CBO to spend the recess doing that score so that he could stay on the timeline of passing something in July. That didn't happen, right, Ken?
Right, that's exactly right. I mean, he wanted to have a bill, because the first CBO score on the McConnell health care bill showed that at least 22 million more Americans would be without insurance by the year 2026. And that, of course, would just, you know, that explains why in most polls, including an NPR poll, that 17% of the American people supported this bill, nobody else. You know, for all the talk about how unpopular Obamacare was, suddenly Obamacare seemed like a gift from the heavens with a majority of the American people suddenly supporting it, given what the alternative was. So McConnell definitely wanted something to send to the CBO, trying to fool around with the numbers in such a way that would be more just more beneficial for his argument. But he couldn't even get that bill written in time, because he wanted the members of the Senate to go back to their states during this 10-day 4th of July break and say, okay, this is much more beneficial than the previous offer, but that just never came to pass.
So because of that, because it didn't come to pass, Ken, does that mean McConnell has lost, you know, the Senate, how it works, how votes are held, et cetera, whether you could actually still have this vote in the month of July? Is that dead now?
Well, who knows what's dead? Remember, in months ago, when the House effort to pass a health care bill tried and ultimately failed, everybody said that Paul Ryan failed and it's gone. And then ultimately they passed something. And of course, if you remember at the time, President Trump said this is a great bill. And then in recent weeks, he called it a mean bill. So it's look, we always talk about what a canny legislator, what a savvy legislator Mitch McConnell is. He's not an ideologue, and he's certainly not huggable, but he does know the Senate and he knows how the things work. The fact is that unlike Obamacare, care, which had to pass with 60 votes in 2009. McConnell changed the budgetary rules to make mean only 50 votes are needed to pass. He still couldn't get that. McConnell knows what he's doing. For 7 years, he's done everything he can to repeal Obamacare. But of course, with an Obama in the White House, that never was going to happen. It's much easier to vote no than it is to vote yes. And given the fact that we've seen with House speakers like John Boehner and Paul Ryan, their inability to get all the Republicans on the same page. As much as we like to compare Mitch McConnell to Lyndon Johnson and the great arm-twisting skills he has, they're still no anywhere closer to a bill than they were before they left on their break. So to say that there'll be a vote by the end of July is certainly possible, but if I were a betting person, and I'm not, but if I were, because I lose every bet I always have, but if I were a betting person, I would say it's going to be longer. It's probably going to be after the summer break.
Ken Rudin with me, the political junkie. If you have a question for him, we're talking healthcare. We have a few other things to talk to as well. There were some tweets of note over the weekend that we'll get to in a moment. We won't talk that long about them, Ken, but I mean, the truth is healthcare is so much more important. But if you have a question for Ken Rudin, 1-800-242-2828-651-227-6000. Another trial balloon that went up, I call it a trial balloon. It seemed to be a trial balloon that went up. And again, it was happening in the midst of these tweets about Mika Brzezinski and then later about CNN. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But I did notice there seemed to be a trial balloon for a while there about, well, what if we just did what had been an idea earlier in the Trump administration, just pass the bill now to repeal Obamacare, just get rid of it, and then come back later with a bill later for whatever the replacement is.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that, you know, now Trump is, there are some Republicans like Ben Sasse of Nebraska and Rand Paul of Kentucky who are urging that on. And then Trump said, Leah, let's do that. That completely overruns what McConnell is trying to do. McConnell is really trying to actually write a bill. And just to say, I think the thing is, the problem with Donald Trump is that he'll give a great speech why Obamacare isn't working and what's wrong with it and all the problems with it. But he has yet to give a speech pushing for the Senate bill, because senators have said over and over again, mostly in anonymously, saying that Trump has no interest in the minutiae of the bill, what's in there, what the actual language is. He just wants to say, I accomplished something, I passed something. So if one of his trial balloons is say, let's just get rid of Obamacare, well, that has been the Republican mantra since 2010. But what does it accomplish? And so it leaves more millions of people without care at all. And there are some Republicans who certainly do not want to go back to their constituencies for this break and say, well, here's what we accomplished. We got rid of all your health care completely. And that's not what the Republicans want to do. It just seems to sabotage it seems to sabotage Mitch McConnell and Republicans who are trying to work on a bill. And two, it's a different viewpoint from Donald Trump, which seems to just be at odds with so much of what Republican lawmakers are trying to do.
Is this the piece of legislation that Mitch McConnell really wants to spend his summer on?
Well, you know, something that there are a lot of Republicans who said, why don't you go for the easy stuff first? But I don't know what's easy anymore, because there are some Republicans who said we should be doing tax reform. There's a reason we have not had tax reform, serious tax reform in this country since 1986, because that's not easy either. Why not do something like, I mean, it's like the criticism that Obama got in 2009. Why go after healthcare immediately when it's so controversial? Get something under your belt. I mean, yes, he got Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court, and I'm not minimizing that at all, but do an infrastructure bill. Reach out to the Democrats. He said he would reach out when he was running for president and was elected. The president had this opportunity to be an above, I mean, this sounds like a fantasy of mine, and I don't think I need to share my fantasies on your show, but he seems like the kind of guy who had the opportunity to be above politics, to take these Democrats and Republicans who are above politics as usual, and just work something out that the majority of the American people want. But since his election, since his inauguration, he seems to have moved much more to the right, much more to a conservative ideology that he really didn't show during the campaign.
Your questions for Ken Rudin at 1-800-242-2828. Let's go to Bob in St. Paul. Hi, Bob. Go right ahead.
Hey, thanks. Just a real quick question for Ken. If you were going to boil it down, what is the Republicans' brand these days?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. Are we talking about John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, who wants to make sure that his citizens in his state are covered with Medicaid expansion? Or are we talking about Rand Paul, who just wants no government, less government, and more cuts from everything? Or are we talking about Donald Trump, who just seems to have a different viewpoint on so many issues, depending on the time of day? I mean, he's talked about Chinese manipulation and Russia and North Korea and Syria. With so many different points of view that your head spins. And look, this is Donald Trump's Republican Party, and obviously, if it weren't, you'd see more defections than you're seeing now. Even when Donald Trump had these inane and disheartening tweets about Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough over the week. You have Susan Collins of Maine coming out and saying it's unfortunate. You have John McCain coming out and saying this is ridiculous. But then in the next breath, they say, we all hope we could work with Donald Trump to get X, Y, or Z passed. So this is Donald Trump's Republican Party, like it or leave it. There's no separate congressional wing. He runs the show, and whatever the Republican Party is what Donald Trump says it is, and I wouldn't even know how to define it.
Thanks, Bob, for the question there. So what of, again, the most recent tweet, you heard about it in the national newscast there, this video from WrestleMania and CNN's logo is on, superimposed on one of the people getting bashed there, et cetera, et cetera. Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press condemns the tweet, says it's a threat of physical violence against journalists. What's happening here? Is this... I just can't help but wonder if this is a distraction, right? To say, well, if we had to leave town and there's no healthcare vote, then I'm just going to stir up my media war because that distracts people? Or is something else going on here, Ken?
I think it's more that, for the longest time when Trump would do things like this, we kept saying, oh, it's a distraction to divert attention from the Russian investigation or things like that. I think this is just vintage Donald Trump. I'm not saying he has a short attention span period. I mean, it just seems like this grates on him. The fact that Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, and I'm not a big fan of the show at all, and I'm among the people who felt that they helped lead to the rise of Donald Trump with all their softball, conversations in 2015. But the fact that when Trump finds that erstwhile allies in the media turn on him, he turns back on them with a vengeance. And he's the kind of guy that if you don't flatter him to the extremes or kiss his ring the way like a Sean Hannity or a Fox and Friends group would do, he just turns on them. So here he is. I mean, first of all, the obsession of Donald Trump about women and blood is just it's grotesque. And yet we saw it with Megyn Kelly. We saw it with Mika Brzezinski about this bloody facelift she had and why he does that. And I think he just really feels first of all, yes, it inspires his base. It stirs up his base. And if the press is working on something serious, like an investigation into potential Russian collusion, the more you put doubt in the American people's minds about the validity and the honesty of the media, then once bad news does come out, if it ever does, perhaps half the country, or at least most of Trump's supporters, will still not believe it. And he's on his way to doing that. To talk about, and then you have the body slamming of a figure with a CNN logo over his head. I mean, that's exactly what the Montana candidate for Congress did to a reporter from The Guardian last week. That's what happens when you go to a Trump rally and he makes vague threats against journalists. And he points to the journalists in the crowd. They're liars. They're dishonest. And it's a frightening, we don't have to compare. We don't have to compare Trump to autocrats and dictators of the past, but we should point out to there's an authoritarian basis to all these things that's saying that I'm right, as he said yesterday, I'm a president and the media is not, and that's exactly how he feels.
But on the New York Times story about these tweets here, one of the paragraphs here cites a Reddit user, just one of the quotes on Reddit, who says, I love this. He saw it, chuckled, and knew he could control the media narrative for days by hitting the post button, so he did. And then Ari Fleischer, the former press secretary to George W. Bush, said that the video post was in poor taste. But he adds on Twitter, the reason POTUS, president of the United States, the reason POTUS does it is because the press has made themselves so unpopular. It's a fight that POTUS actually wins with much of the country. Doesn't Ari have a point there? Go ahead.
I think he absolutely does. And when you have a CNN report that failed to comply with its longtime standards, releasing a CNN report that allegedly linked a Trump associate with a Russian bank, and as it turned out, it was an anonymous source. It was not proven. I'm not saying it wasn't true. We don't know if it's true, but it was not proven. They had to retract it. Three CNN reporters resigned, admitting they goofed up and failed in their job. And that's exactly what Trump loves, and that's exactly what Trump supporters love, because if you want to talk about a fake and dishonest and mean media, all you have to do is say, well, look what CNN did. It was just wrong and incorrect, and that's what they do. So, look, there's no love lost between a president and the media. We know that President Obama probably prosecuted more journalists than any other president in history or had them investigated. And of course, we know about Nixon's role with the media, but I've never seen such outright hatred. And do I think it's coming, it's being returned from the media as well? I do. All you have to do is turn on to a Sean Spicer or a Sarah Huckabee Sanders press conference, and you'll see that antagonism back and forth. But it's unfortunate. It's distressing. But I mean, if you want me to say whose side I'm taking on this, I will always take a free press rather than a president who just feels a free press is a threat to his survival.
Ken Rudin with me, political junkie. In our final minutes here, there is some international travel now in the works here, or in the on the schedule here for President Trump here. And he's going to go to Germany. There's a Group of 20 summit, the Bastille Day celebrations in France. He got an invitation from the new president of France. And one of the interesting side notes of that is that there had been this thought that he might go to Great Britain and visit Theresa May and actually have a whole state visit with the Queen. But then those elections happened in the UK. And so now there's an AP story here today that says, no, there's no plans for a stop by visit to Britain, even though the president is going to Europe here in coming days. Just step back from that, because that seemed to be quite a turn right after that election to say, actually, no, Donald Trump shouldn't come to the UK.
Donald Trump's numbers in Great Britain are just abysmal. He's likely almost guaranteed to be met with huge rallies and protests. But what fascinates me the most is that in this G20 summit that the president is about to lead to in Germany, the fact is that when administration officials are asked about whether he will bring up Russian collusion and Russian interference, alleged Russian interference in our election, H.R. McMaster, who's the national security advisor, says, well, we have no agenda between Trump and Putin. And to be honest with you, this sounds like an alarmist, but I'm almost frightened at the thought of Putin and Trump in a private conversation. God knows what they'll talk about. And there are so many things that need to be talked about, given the hostilities and suspicions between the two countries. But do I think that Trump is going to talk about it? Your guess is as good as mine.
Ken, it's always good to talk to you. I would tell you to go spend your 4th of July on a beach in New Jersey, but I hear they're all closed. So
No, it's not closed. Chris Christie has the beaches to himself. It's great.
They're all his. Well, you'll have to find some other plans, though. But I hope you have a great holiday. And as always, it's great to talk to you, Ken.
Thank you, Tom. Happy 241.
And Ken Rudin, the political junkie. You can visit his website, krpoliticaljunkie.com.